You're listening to The Quarterdeck with Benjamin Strong and Coast Guard Admiral Jim Watson.
Hi, it's Ben Strong from Amver.com, and I'd like to welcome you to the July episode of The Quarterdeck. Admiral Jim Watson won't be joining us this month. He's just completing his move from Virginia back up to Washington, D.C., and he'll be joining us again in August, where we'll have another good discussion on current maritime issues, maritime safety issues, and new policy items that may be creeping up in the Coast Guard affecting mariners around the world. I am happy, however, to announce our guest this month, Julian Longson from Polestar Space Applications. Is that correct, Julian?
That is correct, Ben, yes.
And Polestar is a company that Amver has had a long relationship with, going back, goodness, probably close to 10 years, if not longer now. And Polestar, well, you know what, I'm not going to describe what Polestar does. Julian, I'm going to let you just kind of quickly describe what Polestar does and what you do with them.
Thank you, Ben. Yes, indeed. Polestar, we basically provide vessel telematics solutions to the whole of the maritime industry. As you mentioned, our relationship with Amver goes back many, many years now, and it pretty much formed after the formation of Polestar itself, which was in 1998. And I think, if my memory serves me, I met with the Amver folks 1 year later in 99. From there, our relationship certainly has blossomed to the extent that we're now involved in the tracking of many thousands of vessels. And that is what we do day to day. We provide both discretionary tracking that we call fleet management and also regulated tracking to meet the requirements of the SOLAS convention.
Thank you, Julian. You're right. And what's interesting, and many of our listeners may be wondering, you know, what on earth is Amver doing interviewing or having a conversation with a commercial vessel tracker? And as Julian alluded to, back in the 90s, Amver, you know, we're always looking for ways to improve how ships can communicate with us. And as technology evolves, the Amver team and we here in the Coast Guard feel we have a responsibility to continue to improve the way that our participants report to us. So originally, Julian, the idea was to kind of do a proof of concept study to see if ships could report automatically to the Amver system without any kind of bridge intervention. And I won't necessarily get into all the details. You're a whole lot smarter than I am on the DNIDs and the technical aspect of it. But it's just a way to keep the bridge team or the captain or radio officer from having to type out an email or a telex or send Morse code message. But how many vessels? I want to say it was about 10 vessels started out in the proof of concept study. Does that number sound about right?
Yes, Ben, indeed it was. 10 vessels was the exact number, and we were very pleased with the specific shipping companies that participated in that trial. And, you know, something that really does permeate through our relationship with Amver. And you mentioned the fact that, you know, we are a commercial organization, but, you know, the maritime industry is a brotherhood, you know, when it comes to saving lives at sea and participating in the Amver program. You know, shipping companies and masters really have no second thoughts at all. It's something that they all feel they want to do. Yes,
exactly. And that was the real kind of the foundation of the relationship, was that we wanted to see if this type of automatic reporting was possible, and B, we wanted, since there was now a market for, you know, people purchasing fleet management and communications capabilities, we thought that it was important to offer a way for the ships that that were subscribing to your service or other services. We'll talk a little bit about that as well, I suppose. But we didn't want these vessels to be excluded or have to have an additional burden of both manually reporting to Amver and having this automatic reporting scheme going on in the background. But what started as 10 ships 10 plus years ago has now blossomed into what just recently became 1,000 ships reporting to Amver through the Polestar system. But I think, Julian, you hit the nail on the head as to why Polestar wanted to support Amver and why Amver is interested in the relationship with Polestar, is that going to sea is a brotherhood, and it is this kind of fraternal organization. And really, if I'm a sailor, I don't care if the ship that's coming to save me has sent Amver a Morse code message or a telex or a fax or reported via Polestar or what's now blossoming into several other vessel reporting schemes and commercial enterprises. I just want to know that ship is coming, and you guys recognize that first, and that's really what and that's what you know got us together and helped this relationship and this program grow, isn't it?
Yes, I mean it is certainly, and yeah, what is really pleasing for me, and of course, you're having 1,000 vessels reporting to the Amber system is fantastic. And every vessel that we will get reporting further into the system will be of a great benefit, you know. And it only takes one vessel, of course, to save a life. That's how crucial all of this is, really, and why we support it wholeheartedly. From a technical point of view, for your listeners, certainly it was a relatively straightforward thing for us to do. Of course, you know, position reports from ships back in 98 was a relatively new thing. We were, if you like, in a marketing sense, trying to dislodge what was the manual noonday report. In an Amber context, your incoming position reports were also manual. In many respects, and we found ourselves, we were sitting on a very good technical solution where we were receiving automated position reports on average every 6 hours, so four times a day, and it seemed that the most logical thing in the world was to reroute those positions into the Amber system from our participating ships, and that's currently exactly where we still stand.
Well, and this was very cutting edge for the time. This predates long-range identification and tracking. It predates, I don't know the actuality on this. I may be incorrect, but does this predate AIS?
Yes, it does predate AIS. AIS, of course, as most things are, when they are discussed at the IMO and set in motion, probably dates back to the mid-90s, but it was certainly long after 2000 before the AIS systems were installed on vessels and became operational.
So we can be proud to say that the Amver and Polestar relationship was cutting edge for its time. It's a good place to be, isn't it?
It's a very good place. And of course, now more and more vessels are providing position reports into automated tracking systems. We, Polestar, are, of course, not the only commercial organization doing this. There are several others now. I'd like to think, of course, that we were the world's and are the world's leading provider of this type of solution. And I'm sure as we go through the conversation, Ben, we'll go on to where Polestar are heading and you know, what we think in the industry is happening at this vessel tracking level. But it is all very exciting, of course, and it's interesting, you mentioned leading edge. It certainly was back in 98. And even now, I'm mesmerized when I see the positions of vessels on maps, on our systems, and I can see they're in the middle of the Pacific. There's still something that makes a little boy out of you that fascinates you with that type of thing.
I agree with you. It's interesting. We're kind of changing the way we display our density plot information, and I'm fascinated to look at a map and see where vessels are. I'm also quite proud when I look at a map and see where just our Amvro vessels are reporting, and it's evident and it's obvious. Our survivors can certainly speak for this, but there really isn't anywhere in the world, with the exception of perhaps the North and South Polar regions, where we can't get a commercial ship to rescue you. Usually within about 24 hours. The days of being adrift at sea for 6, 7, 8 days, provided, of course, that the survivor is properly equipped with a EPIRB and various rescue equipment, but the days of being adrift at sea, for a crew or a well-supplied sailor are essentially over now.
That's right, and of course, I mean, and I think we know perhaps as well what the future holds. You mentioned the Arctic and Antarctic areas, and with exploration and with the opening, potential opening of the sea lanes up there, with you know, perhaps the effect of global warming, perhaps not, but you know, those areas are hostile. And certainly, you know, the AMBER system and participation of vessels is crucial when you are in a distress situation in those areas.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's one of the areas that we're starting to put more emphasis on is the Arctic sea lanes that are opening up, dealing with our Arctic nations. The Arctic Council just recently signed a search and rescue agreement amongst the various Arctic nations. So the world is focusing on search and rescue. But I want to talk a little bit about vessels. How many ships? AMBER right now has about 22,000, depending on new builds and what may be going to the breakers or into the yards. We have about 22,000 ships that are enrolled in AMBER. I'm very proud to say that we just had over 5,000 ships reporting in a 24-hour period. How many ships total? We know we've got over, and it's probably higher now, there are at least 1,000 ships reporting through Polestar. But how many vessels do you guys kind of manage or track altogether?
In total, Ben, I guess we are tracking around 15,000 unique ships at any one moment. And however, in total, we were probably tracking close to 25,000 ships because some of those ships are being tracked more than once. And let me give you an example. You may have a ship operator tracking a ship, and the same ship may be tracked by the charterer. And further, with the regulatory environment now, of course, all flag administrations have to provide long-range identification and tracking data centers to track their own ships too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's going back to, again, the leading edge point you made very early on. 12, 13 years ago, very, very few ships were being tracked, and today, you know, ships are being tracked by many different entities at the same time.
Well, it's certainly a testimony to safety at sea, and I would add, so as not to exclude or to not give the air of showing favoritism, the relationship that we have with Polestar helped, I think, spur similar relationships we have now with Transas, that also provides vessel tracking, and they have a relationship with us, Marine a tracker in the UK as well. So, you know, to our shipmates at sea, if your vessel reports to Polestar and you're not taking advantage of this opportunity, we'll have a link to Polestar in the show notes so that you can email them and talk to a sales representative and say, how can I get involved in this relationship? But I would also encourage Transas customers and any, you know what, I would encourage a customer of any vessel tracking program to ask their supplier, say, why aren't we reporting to AMBER? Because it was, Julian, it was the relationship that we have that proved it could be done. It worked on the premise that it would be cost neutral at best. If there was any cost, it's certainly not borne by the ship owner. And I think the coding on both our end and your end was minimal at most, correct?
Yes, that's correct. It was minimal. The interfaces we have between our two servers is very straightforward. And again, I know we're waxing lyrical on this, Ben, but it has been a pleasure working with AMBER, and I'm certain that the other commercial companies that you've mentioned, Marine Track and Transas, would say the same thing. You know, it's nice when you sit in the commercial side of the industry, as we are, to do some good, and I do believe we are doing good with AMBER, and our feeds, both Polestar and the other two companies I mentioned, I'm absolutely certain charge nothing for this. This is a free of charge service provided to the shipping companies to allow them to route their position reports through to you guys. And it is all about saving lives, and that means an awful lot to everybody concerned.
Well, and you know, if people want hard and fast examples of, you know, great, I'm sending my reports to AMBER via Polestar or any number of tracking schemes, does it really work? You and I know that it works because we've had that case in December that was specifically a Polestar case where a group of German adventurers were rescued by a Greek ship in the Mediterranean. It was, in fact, it was an interesting case, and I think it really demonstrates the international flavor and cooperation and nature of AMVR in that the Germans were in distress in the water. They sent their EPIRB was picked up by MRCC Rabat. The rescue personnel at Rabat notified the U.S. Coast Guard using a process we have online to request AMVR information. Any rescue coordination center in the world can request all of this data. It would be criminal for us. It would be a shame if we kept that information to ourselves. So it is available to rescue coordination centers around the world. So Rabat requests AMVR data from the U.S. Coast Guard using Polestar as a mechanism of sending the report. So we've got a U.K. company tracking a Greek ship, and we ended up rescuing two people. So if anybody asks, well, does it really work? A couple of German sailors would be happy to probably share a beer and discuss, yeah, the system really does work.
Yes, that's right. It was a fascinating example of a multinational approach to safety at sea, without a doubt.
Well, I'm very, very pleased with the cooperation that we have. Speaking strictly from providing more vessels on plot, the more ships that we have available and willing to divert, the better for everybody at sea. Polestar recognized that, help us establish this great means of automatically sending in position reports. What's new for Polestar? What's next for you guys? What can people expect in the future?
Well, interestingly, the big debate in the industry, as you've probably picked up over the last few weeks with the conclusion of the MEP, IMO, International Maritime Organization MEPC meeting, it's all relating to the environment. We know the environment's important, and the shipping industry knows it's important too. There's a lot of movement with regard to increasing vessel efficiencies. There's a lot of movement in the industry with regard to operational indices and design indices for vessels. And of course, with a combination of the fact that bunkers and fuel costs are rising to incredible levels, means that the shipping industry is desperately searching for major improvements in efficiencies from a cost savings point of view, but also from a environmental emissions point of view as well. Now, we at Polestar have been putting a lot of research and development into this area, and we're pretty comfortable with the fact that by providing extensions to our vessel tracking services, both our discretionary and our regulated tracking services, we can actually contribute to that equation. And you'll probably see that there's been a lot of discussion in the industry, journals and magazines, about improving ship efficiencies through the monitoring of voyage operations and routing of vessels. And of course, the position of the ship is crucial in that calculation. And that is what we're dealing with at this moment in time.
You know, Julian, that's an interesting point you bring up about the efficiencies and kind of the economics of shipping, whether it be on an environmental side or more on the, saving money, the efficiencies. I've seen some business models popping up that are using vessel tracking and applying it almost to the economics of shipping to figure out, is the spot price of crude oil going to go up based on the perhaps the number of vessels heading into a port or coming out of a port, or particular types of vessels? I think when people think of vessel tracking, they think, safety, search and rescue, and security. But do you see a market emerging from the economic standpoint, or from, can I go to Barron's or can I go to the Wall Street Journal and perhaps one day analysts will be using vessel tracking data as a means of speculating on commodities?
Yes, well, it literally is a $1 million question, Ben, and it's a very, we could talk for hours on just this very one issue, because it's also, it's potentially going to be available, that type of analysis in the industry. But of course, there's a lot of angst and concern over that. It may be easier for me to explain it in context that the type of position reporting that we, Polestar, provide through to ANVA is all based around the Inmarsat type of GMDSS SAT-C systems, where you can derive position from the GPS and then transmit that position over either the Inmarsat point-to-point networks or the Iridium networks as communication service providers. Now, what that allows is a very secure network to be developed, where the position reports and the position of the vessel is secure, in that it simply goes from one system into another. It's not broadcast anywhere. And therefore, when shipping companies track their own vessels, it's done in a secure way and a very confidential way. Now, of course, the question you raise regarding commodities and futures and all that type of economic indices is valid, because, of course, just over the horizon, we're looking at the advent of satellite AIS. Now, satellite AIS, is an extremely interesting service that is coming onto the market, and it will provide position reports on vessels all around the world, but in an unrestricted way, insofar that any company that wanted to offer value-added services into the commodities arena could do so to good effect. Now, there's good and bad attached to that type of offering into the markets, because at the end of the day, what you guys at ANVA and we are particularly concerned about here is safety of life at sea. Now, if the shipping companies and the trading houses believe that third parties are obtaining information on their ships, it may come to a point where the AIS system is actually switched off or deliberately falsified to indicate that the ship is under ballast as opposed to being loaded, etc., with crude oil, for example. Now, switching equipment off in the maritime world is not the greatest thing to do at all, but I think other people will understand that that's maybe a commercial necessity in some cases, and that will be a dangerous point for us to reach. And so the next 18 months or so are going to be really quite crucial in how that part of the marketplace develops.
It is going to be an interesting evolution of technology tracking and exactly who is a customer of vessel position information. But I do want to reiterate a point that you made, and I think it's an important point, so as not to scare off any ANVA participants. The relationship that we have with Polestar and with the other vessel tracking companies and some actual in-house shipping vessel tracking schemes, the relationship we have is confidential, it's secure, and it's only used for search and rescue purposes. So the Wall Street barons aren't getting a hold of any ANVA data, insurance companies, P&I clubs. ANVA data is used strictly for search and rescue purposes, and we only share it with rescue coordination centers during an actual emergency. But there's one last thing I want to touch on, Julian, and that's communications in the polar regions. Is that still proving to be somewhat of a challenge, or is the technology evolving now where there's essentially coverage around the world?
Technology exists, Ben, and has done now for a couple of years. We've touched on the long-range identification and tracking regulation a few moments ago, and in fact, a major performance requirement of that regulated system is that the tracking had to be available in what we call Area A4, which is the high latitudes, of course. Inmarsat, which is the dominant provider of communication services in the maritime world, can operate up to around 72 degrees north and south. So above that, you know, there are, or rather there were, communications problems. However, there are excellent services such as Iridium that with their low Earth orbit satellites, you know, provide a mesh coverage of 100% of the Earth's surface. And so there are products in the marketplace that provide tracking information using the Iridium service as the comms platform to cover those areas.
Well, this is that's good news for people who are curious or concerned or interested in reporting to AMBER if they're going to be sailing in the Arctic. The cruise ship Explorer incident down in Antarctica several years ago certainly demonstrate that you know, catastrophic incidents still occur, whether they be in the north or the south, and it's that collaboration of shipping, communications companies, and AMBER that will be best suited to save lives at sea. Julian, I'm proud to be partnered. I know that AMBER and our participants are proud to be partnered with Polestar. We're very excited to have eclipsed 1,000 ships, and that number continues to grow. Polestar's contribution, and yours too, because you've been around essentially since the beginning, but Polestar's contribution to safety at sea is certainly unmatched and has contributed to that 5,000 vessels on plot number. On behalf of those of us here at AMBER, I want to say thank you. Again, I said I'm going to include links in our show notes, so if people have questions about how their ships can, if they already subscribe to a Polestar product, can partner with AMBER, they can, your salespeople are standing by, as we say in the United States, right?
Indeed they are. They're ready and waiting, Ben.
So we'll have links to all of the various schemes that we have. And scheme in the United States sometimes takes on a bad connotation, but I know in the rest of the world a scheme can be a very good thing, and the relationship we have with these various tracking schemes is good. But Julian, I want to thank you for taking a few moments out of your day to kind of share the AMBER Polestar story and how that has helped spur and better communications and safety at sea around the world, and I look forward to 2,000 Polestar vessels reporting to AMBER in the coming future. Thank you so much, Julian.
Thank you very much, Ben. And may I just say, it is an honor and it's a privilege working with you guys over there. You are doing a fantastic job, and long may it continue.
You have been listening to The Quarterdeck. Learn more about the AMBER program at amber.com. The Quarterdeck theme song is called Botany Bay by the Blackbirds, available at musicalley.com, or follow the link in our show notes.
I'm on the way down to the quay where the good ship and anchor lays to command the gang of navvies. They told me to engage. Well, I thought I'd stop in for a pint before I went away. But I take a trip on an emigrant ship to the shores of Botany Bay.